Hey everybody, welcome back. Shavua Tov. So happy to be chatting with you, and I just want to start off with gratitude for all of you. I'm really grateful for all of you. I've been really humbled by so many of you reaching out and saying you found the podcast, and it's been really very nice. And if you are listening on Spotify, I'm going to have this on YouTube as well. But wherever you listen, don't forget to follow and rate the show and share if it's meaningful to you. Just really grateful. So, leads me here today to Chod Shev Netzach. Hope you had such an amazing Shabbat of Netzach, Shev Netzach, of really honing in and being in the moment and pulling ourselves back into the moment when we're feeling like we're having thoughts, planning ahead, what's going to happen after Shabbat, and things I got to do, and whatever else. You know, we have a funny thing that we say, I learned from one of my rabbis, Rabbi Van, in Calabasas Shul. When someone asked me a question that wasn't pertaining to Shabbat, he'd say, send me an email. Meaning, like, we'll talk about it during the week, right? Send me an email. You can't send me an email in here, and we'll talk about it during the week. So we say that at home. Send me an email. And plenty of send me an emails this Shabbat. Being present, being in the moment, and it was really very meaningful in that sense. And now we move on to the new moment. The new moment is Chod Shev Netzach. Today is Chod Shev Netzach, which is also very powerful in the sense that obviously Netzach has this kind of like powerful energy to it. It can almost seem like overbearing, dominance, victory. These have like connotations of confrontation and connotations of competition. And that in and of itself can be very confronting and uncomfortable. And it's not like we honestly... Seeking to always be comfortable is kind of our issues, I think, especially those of us who have character defects. So if you're human, then you fall into that category. But we have character defects. And part of the reason why we maintain these character defects is because we want to maintain our comfort level. We don't want to feel uncomfortable. And, you know, a very famous viral clip of Rabbi Dr. Avraham Tversky talked about the need to release our desire for comfort. Literally the analogy was pertained to lobsters, that when they get too big for their shell, they have to leave their shell and they grow another shell, which is all very uncomfortable. And this is the same thing with us, that when we want to grow, we have to leave the comfort of our shell that we've created. And a lot of times we fall into our shell and become hermits and go inwards. And this is not healthy, right? So it's not that we need to seek, God forbid, confrontation. But we should definitely be, embracing discomfort. And it's okay to feel discomfort. But this aspect of Netzach, like I said, corresponding to these kind of like, some would say like masculine traits, even some would say toxic masculine traits. Oppressive kind of traits. All these kind of, the lot of buzzwords that go around today. And Chod Shev Netzach comes to say, this is not even the case. It's not even remotely the case. The reason being is that Chod, as we're learning, corresponds to this aspect of humility and gratitude. And this seems to like contradict the idea in and of itself of Netzach, which talks about confidence. And first and foremost, we learned last week in Tiferet how much how important it is to hold two truths at the same time, right? To have contradictions, being able to both be true at the same time, And the same is true here in Chod Shem Netzach. Chod Shem Netzach is the aspect of humble confidence. Humble confidence. And we talk a lot, obviously, because Netzach is embodied by Moshe Rabbeinu. He is the archetype of Netzach. He's eternal. And it's weird because we correspond as well to Moshe Rabbeinu as the most humble of all men. So it seems to contradict, right, when how's he Netzach is the most humble? Because in our mind, a lot of times, once again, when I'm on here, I'm talking to myself, right? If somebody else gets something out of it, so I don't mean to project on other people. I'm really talking to myself and challenging my own kind of predisposed notions, beliefs. And so it's easy to think of humility as something that is... somebody's humble, is meek and quiet and doesn't stand up to someone else. And, you know, but this isn't necessarily what confidence is. It's not what humility is, and it's not what confidence is. And then we look at confidence as somebody who's boisterous and loud and overbearing, and this is not confidence at all, right? And we mentioned in the intro, I believe, to Netzach about this concept. And... Netzach, when a person is, Rav Benji gets into Netzach today, talking about how when a person, that the essence of Chod Shem Netzach is inner self-sufficiency, is the words that he uses exactly, inner self-sufficiency, self-worth, inner sufficiency, humility, right? And, a person who is not confident, actually, they have to overcompensate, right? They have to overcompensate with either they always are hiding, always in the state of hiding and not putting themselves out there and not showing and underbeing, and that's one of the expressions of that kind of unhealthy aspect. And another aspect is the person who feels they have to talk over people. And it could even be somebody who, you know, has this idea of themselves as being part of the out-group, right? They're part of the out-group. The majority and the majority of people in society are this. This is what they are, right? They've gone and either through their own judgment or through experience or reality or whatever it may be, and now gone and placed the world into one place, one corner, and they themselves are against the world, or the world is against them. And I think even as a Jew, right, it's, we can even do this ourselves, right, knowing that there's a rise in anti-Semitism, which is very real, experiencing it, feeling it, online and in reality, obviously. Historically as well, there's other groups of people who have historically felt less than, placed into less than positions in history, and sometimes the expression of breaking out of that is to be louder than that group, and to fight that group, and to demand, make demands, and to have stipulations and ultimatums, and to be arrogant, ultimately, right? It leads to arrogance, where then the person says, I'm so much better than the world doesn't know what they're talking about, and no one can move me from my position. And this is a very, very dangerous position to be when we're in such a place that we figured everything out. We have everything figured out. We know everything. As the great philosopher DMX once said, if you think you know, then I don't think you know, right? And this is ultimately really, I mean, I joke, but it's true, right? A person who is so sure of themselves that they you can't tell them anything, this is not real confidence, it's arrogance, and the person is actually masking themselves to protect their own worldview, because... ultimately, that worldview stands on shaky ground. And in order to protect them, their brain, which at one point was a proper defense mechanism, it probably guarded that person from trauma, probably guarded that person from bullying, from all kinds of different things, has now lost that. And that's the case for a lot of addicts, and not just for addicts. I mean, this is a human condition. Really, it's a human condition. So I know there's people out there as well who are like, you know, Maynard's talking a lot about a recovery and stuff. That doesn't pertain to me. I'm not in recovery. I'm not in the 12 steps, and I'm not an addict. And it's true. Not everybody is an addict. But everybody's a human being, and everybody's protecting their own brain and their own psyche in order to live the best life they can live. And everybody has taken defense mechanisms that at one time were serving us, and they now continue to use that defense mechanism, and they're actually pushing that person down or away even more from actually their goals and from other people. And thinking that you're better than is actually isolating you. Can isolate a person, and this is the opposite of confidence, the opposite of Netzach, right? Where Netzach is actually, Rav Benji talks about Netzach is also encompassed by the Chirik, which is a tiny dot underneath the letter that gives out the song, the sound phonetically, E, as in Li, as in Li, as in, he says B, you know, whatever, right? So, but what does this mean, right? It's a tiny point, right? It's a humble point, and it does not spread out into the space around it. The man to be given more than it needs and does not request more than is absolutely necessary for it to know that it exists and it's valued and it's powerfully affecting the world already, right? So a person who wants more than they need, who's made demands, maybe at one point they were part of an oppressed society, part of an oppressed group, and their demands have been met, and now they want more, right? And they're continuing to demand more, and want more respect, and want more of this, and we have to keep fighting until and it actually, they're now fighting a losing cause. They've gone from being the winners to now fighting a losing cause because this isn't the way that Hashem has run the world. Hashem is actually, right, Rav Benji also points out that this is the 26th day of the counting of the Omer. And 26, right, non-coincidentally, right, the 26th day of the Omer, corresponding to 26 was the name of Hashem, Yud, He, Vav, and He. Right? You add that up, it's 26, and of course, Hashem is actually, corresponding to one of the stories of Rabbi Nachman, is the humble king, where Hashem could be overbearing and show us exactly what we need to do, and if you don't do this, then you're wrong, and immediately we do something wrong, and he's correcting us, and there would be no place for free will, there would be no place for us to exist. And instead, he's the humble king. He exemplifies Chodesh Netzach in the sense that, yes, he's the master. He has mastery over everything. And in the same time, he has so much confidence that he's able to be in the background and not look for recognition, and not look for validation. We live in a world right now where it's so loud. Everybody wants to be so loud and out there. And it's not that we don't put ourselves out there. Like I said, there's two... It's not that we don't put ourselves out there. It's the fact that we don't have to be the swinging pendulum, right? Where we're not putting ourselves out there at all, and then all of a sudden we demand validation. But this is the world we live in, where people are so uncomfortable with themselves, so anxious, so depressed, and this self-worth has become so low that they've created a false sense of self by the likes and the comments and the validation that they're getting online. Right, and it's indicative, really, of kind of that aspect, that problem, where they're lacking, right? Where Hashem is in the background. And humility, we talked about Moshe Rabbeinu being the most humble of all men. It's not that he didn't know that he was the greatest prophet of all time. It's not that he didn't know that he was doing the most important task of any human of all time, so to speak. Bringing down the Torah, leading the Jews in the desert, letting them enter the world. But he was so humble because he knew that he had a task, he had a job that was given to him by God. And these were the gifts that he had, that if he wasn't using them, the gifts that were given to him by God, then it would mark his downfall as well. Right? He had to be that person. He had to step up to be that person. And a person can be the greatest and still know that it's from Hashem, that Hashem gave him this gift. And it's incumbent upon me to share it with other people and allow people to grow, not to be overbearing. And this is an aspect of that negative expression of confidence of Netzach, is that they don't allow other people to be them around them. When they hear an opposing idea, especially an idea or a viewpoint that is contradictory to their biggest insecurities, there is no way for that person to listen. They're screaming over the person, or they're blocking out the person, or they're dismissing the person, or they're gaslighting the person. They're not allowing that person, let alone to express themselves, to exist in their reality and to exist in the way that that person needs to exist. And this can happen a lot as well in a parent-child relationship, where because the child is, the parent knows so much and has so much experience and knows better than the child, that the parent does not allow the child to be a child and doesn't allow the child to be in any stage of development. When they're a kid, they're telling the kid what to do and they're overbearing and they are helicoptering and they won't let the kid make mistakes and fall and get back up, which is an aspect of Netzach. Or they are, when they're getting older, they're gaslighting them and telling them what to believe and, well, we believe this and we believe that and don't you know that society's against us and all these kind of things, and creating that kind of environment, you know, and then as they get older, right, and now they're becoming their own, they are their own person actually, they don't want that person to leave and to be an adult. They want us to infantilize that person. And they want to keep being mommy and daddy, and they get resentful when the parent, when the child is now getting on their own. And even God forbid, wow, if the kid's doing well on their own, then they take extra offense to it. They want the kid to not be doing well so they can still be depending on them and coming back to them. And the person still wants to be that same role as they've always been. It's very hard for that person. They don't let the person be. They don't let the person become. And then they wonder later on why they're like, well, why is the person still relying on me? Well, who created the situation? And of course, it takes two to tango, right? But the parent had a lot of influence on this from early on. So Hashem is not doing this with us. Hashem is letting us to make mistakes. Hashem is letting us to grow on our own. Hashem is letting us to be ourselves and to keep being the people that we're gonna be, and at the same time humbly correcting us and putting us back on the right path as necessary. And this is from Hashem, right? So we have to of course keep our kids safe and have to be in the middle there, as we talked about in Tiferes. But point being here is that for us, what does that mean for us? That means that I allow other people to exist. I allow other people to be. I allow enough space for people to be. And I allow myself to be, and to be the greatest. And at the same time, to know that my skills, my gifts, are from Hashem, God-given, and it's responsibility to have. It's responsibility to be the master. It's responsibility to have a mastery over something, and to be confident, and to be victorious, and to have resilience, and to get back up. And with this deep inner sense of self-sufficiency, right, we can allow ourselves to grow and allow other people to grow into the reality that that Hashem wants us to be, right? So today, one of the practices can be, hey, is there something that I'm feeling less than confident about? And to go and do an action there. And is there somewhere where I am being so overconfident that I'm not allowing other people to speak or to have an opinion that's opposing to mine? Because that's dangerous to my safety, right? Thinking that it's dangerous to my safety for whatever reason. and where can I enter into a place of humble confidence where I can be successful and work hard and receive praise and not take it to heart and not get a bloated ego? And where can I make continued growth in my learning and in my education? And as we always say, a school is great, but don't let it get in the way of your education. So where can I continue my education and still know that there are views that differ from mine and that that's okay? And I'm still going to put myself out there, and I may hear flack from other people. And that's just their opinion. That can also be coming from their own inflated sense of ego or their own lack of self-worth in themselves, and allowing people to have that. And so we should all be blessed to really, really, really exemplify this aspect of Moshe Rabbeinu and Hashem Yitbarach on this 26th day of the Omer, to be able to be humble without fluff or flair, as Rav Benji says, to have inner self-sufficiency, inner self-worth, and to put ourselves out there and continuing to try and go again, and at the same time not having to being overbearing or boisterous. And in this way, we'll see that each one of us are making progress, and we can make all the progress and be here together. And the reason why we don't like each other, we have Sinat Chinam, which is the reason why the Second Temple was destroyed, was because we have an inflated sense of ego. So by doing this, we can defeat our ego and allow others to be and have an endless love for every single person out there, and an acceptance of every single person out there, and allow them to be. And in this way, we will instantly see the rebuilding of the Third Temple, a release of all of our hostages, released and free, liberated, everything, Israel, with the Jewish people, Am Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, living in ultimate shalom, with everybody, and 12 tribes being united in the happiest, healthiest way, and it'll be happening right away. L'chaim.